invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Chapter 7. And we'll read a few verses there, 1 to 9. I guess it never occurred to me to preach a sermon like this. April Fool's Day. Is this April Fool's? It's okay. Sometimes we think that's kind of funny, you know. How many of you like to have practical jokes played on you? But you put that hand down. How many of you like to play practical jokes on others? Why is that fun? And what is a practical joke? It's basically making a fool out of somebody else, right? You're making them believe something that isn't true. The outcome is exactly opposite of what they would have imagined. And, you know, you laugh and so forth. Well, that's humorous. But it's hard to find anything connected with in the Bible with the term fool as being funny. It's a little bit hard-pressed to find any humor connected with that concept in Scripture. Notice what he says here, and we're not going to do an exposition. We've already preached through Ecclesiastes, so I don't think we need to do that. But just a sort of a general overview of this whole concept of what a fool is in the Bible. Hearing from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than a good ointment. And the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That sounds a little negative. But that's what he says. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools, there's our word, is in the house of pleasure. Seemingly because he's not really ultimately in touch with reality over there. That's not the way things are going to always be. It's a temporary phenomenon. It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. For as the crackling of the thorn bushes under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. And this too is futility. It's meaninglessness. For oppression makes a wise man mad, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Now we could read on there. He goes on and talks about other matters in connection with fools and so forth. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to be as far as we can possibly get, whether on this day or any other day of the year, from what the Bible describes as a person who is a fool. Help us to understand the concept, to avoid it, and to help others avoid it. Help us to be wise as opposed to being fools. In Jesus' name, amen. The student encyclopedia section of the Encyclopedia Britannica says, also about April Fool's Day, also known as All Fool's Day, April Fool's Day is a playful holiday celebrated around the world, usually on the first day of April. It is traditional to play harmless tricks on people, such as sending them on a task that it is impossible to accomplish, or convincing them of something the joker knows to be false on this day. Nobody seems to be certain of the origin of this holiday, but some surmise that it is rooted in some pagan religion. I saw some evidence of that, but I'm not exactly sure, and the authorities are not 100% sure how to connect this. But it has become a tradition, and you have to be kind of careful even when you're listening to news reports about what you're hearing there, because sometimes the news reports are not really news at all. A guy on KFAB, for example, had a guy who was supposedly an authority from the electrical company, and this fellow from the electrical company was faking it, and he said they're going to have sensors all throughout Omaha, and they're going to keep track of your thermostat temperature in your house, and they're going to make sure that you're staying within the range allowable by law. And people were buying into it, calling in, and they were really angry. But it turns out the power company said, that guy wasn't from our company. It's not true. I have since heard that the technology for doing just that is being developed. So it was kind of an anticipation of what might be down the road just a little ways. What you think about that, I don't know. Here this evening, we're not so much interested in the origin of this holiday or this separate day set apart for playing jokes on people. We're interested in the concept of fools only from the perspective of what the Bible says about it. Of course, the dictionary also has a useful definition for the term fool. What do you think the dictionary says? A fool is, quote, a person lacking in judgment or prudence. A person lacking in judgment or prudence. Such a person seems incapable of making a reasonable decision. That's my statement, not the dictionary. A fool is a person who seems to be incapable of making a reasonable decision. The opposite of a fool is someone who is wise or prudent, who makes good decisions based on truth. Not only does a fool not make good decisions, but he also seems very often to be incapable of learning. As to the one who succumbs to the seductions, for example, of the adulterous wife, Proverbs 7:22 says, suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to slaughter, or as one in fetters, to the discipline of a fool. What's the point of disciplining a fool? It's no wonder that the Bible says, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Proverbs 6:32. The failure of fools to learn is reiterated here in this passage. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. And notice this, please. Proverbs 27:22. Though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Imagine the scene. He's in there with the grain. He's being ground up with it. And when the whole process is over, he hasn't learned a thing. Foolishness doesn't depart from him. There's something in the mind of a genuine fool that blocks him from having a learning experience so that he tends to remain a fool. Now, the starting place in Scripture, by the way, for not being a fool is to believe in the existence of God. The starting place in Scripture for not being a fool is to believe in the existence of God. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53:1. Pardon me. Psalm 10 and verse 4 says, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him, doesn't seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. I think a lot of them are trying to talk themselves into believing that. But that's a sobering verse. The wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance. You can just see the arrogance on his face. He doesn't seek God. All his thoughts are, there's no God out there. Now, what are some of the characteristics of fools? One chief characteristic is the inability that these people have of controlling their tongues. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. Nothing penetrates, everything flows out. It's just emptiness. Another place says, he who winks the eye causes trouble, but a babbling fool will be ruined, Proverbs 10:10. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand, Proverbs 10:14. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect him, So these words that just keep flowing out of the mouth of the fool basically bring him into judgment, into discipline. So in the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. Now he's probably not going to learn anything from it when the negative experience comes. But contrary to all of that, the lips of the wise will protect them. That is, protect the wise. Solomon also said in another place, Ecclesiastes 5:3, "For the dream comes through much effort." That's an enigmatic statement, by the way. A lot of people are not entirely sure what that statement means. "For the dream comes through much effort." But the last half of the verse seems eminently understandable. "And the voice of a fool through many words." The King James Version says that a fool is known or recognized by his multitude of words. Just words, 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 babbling lips, words pouring forth. Nothing able to penetrate, but all kinds of stuff coming out. It follows then that even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. If you just shut your mouth, you can conceal your true condition if you happen to be a fool. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Proverbs 17:28. You've heard the expression, haven't you? I suppose most of us have. That it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You can protect yourself from a lot of grief by cutting back on the volume of words. And I can speak from some experience there. I've had trouble in that area. And my dad used to say, "It's your mouth that gets you in trouble." Okay. Try to do better. Another characteristic of fools is that they take sin lightly. They take sin lightly. Proverbs 14:9. "Fools mock at sin," or make a mockery of sin. "But among the upright there is goodwill." Show the contrast. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. Fools are typically not humble, oddly enough. You would think, because of the fact that they are fools, that that would be reason enough in itself that they should be humble. But they're typically not humble. A wise man, the Bible says, is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is arrogant and careless. Characteristics of a fool: arrogant, careless. Proverbs 14:16. Not surprisingly, fools do not often end up in positions of responsibility and leadership. They don't very often. It happens once in a while. They usually don't last there. But fools very often don't end up in positions of responsibility and leadership. Again, Proverbs 11:29 says this: He who troubles his own house will inherit wind. That basically means nothing, right? He who troubles his own house will inherit wind. What's your inheritance? Oh, a bunch of air. Not a good outcome. Okay, let's sing. That's the first time my sermons have been accompanied by music. We should try that. Okay. It's April Fool's. Just hit play and watch him struggle on the platform up there, okay? It could have been that. That's right. Yeah, make it bold, you know. You've heard of the preacher sermon? And the side of it, it said, "Weak point, yell here." "He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant of the wise-hearted." You wind up in a position of servanthood just by default because of your foolish nature. You wind up being at the service of others. You don't wind up in a position of responsibility and leadership. Notice the contrasting positions of the wise and the foolish as they progress through life. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness. Now there's a line for you. The folly of fools is foolishness. That's what they wind up with. That's who they are. That's what they are. That's what they wind up with, which is not a lot different from emptiness, air. No real inheritance. Similarly, in another place we are told, the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but foolishness of fools, put the article in there, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. They are into deceit. Fools are into deceit. Consequently, it would be better not to spend time with them. And so we're told in Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. In other words, his thinking, his talk, his babbling lips might end up influencing you so that you wind up being very similar to him, not able to discern words of knowledge anymore. So leave the presence of a fool. Just get out, move on, get out of the way, and hang out with the wise, the mature, the godly-minded. Now, the New Testament also has plenty to say about fools as well. Jesus called foolish ones, Luke 11:40, those legalistic Pharisees who emphasize the externals of their religion at the expense of the true condition of the inner man. Similarly, he said in Matthew 23 and verse 17, you fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? Now, it would be easy to be taken in by thinking that gold is the thing that matters. But Jesus said the gold is nothing in and of itself. Which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? Or the God behind the temple that sanctified the gold? That's what's important. It's easy to be taken in by riches and not think objectively from God's point of view. Jesus also warned that everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And what happened? The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the wise man is the person who hears the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 7, and acts on those words. And so when the storms of life assail this individual and his house, the house will stand firm. Paul called a fool the believer. Yes, the believer who failed to comprehend the nature of the resurrection body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And yes, it is possible for the believer, for you and for me, it's possible for us to act foolishly. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, do you guys memorize Ephesians 5:17, Nawana? What's it say? So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Is it possible for a believer to act foolishly? Yes. How can he act foolishly? By failing to understand what the will of the Lord is, and to act on that, on his will, on the directions of his word. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul had to concede that the Galatians were foolish and had been taken in by the Judaizers, the legalists. He said to them, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? They were acting foolishly when they bought into the theological error of the Judaizers, which basically said, go back to the law. In Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and 26, Jesus interacting with those two guys on the road to Emmaus, he effectively said the same thing as what Paul said to the Galatians over there. He said to them as they were walking along, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? They were acting foolishly and not believing what the prophets said. And you and I can also act foolishly, but not believing in what the prophets said, or just by not believing the word. On the other hand, by good behavior as believers, we can quell the foolishness of others. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. You can remove the ground for any charge that they may have against us. Simple, doing right, you silence the ignorance of foolish men. One thing that all people ought to most earnestly desire to do is not to be thought foolish by God. Do you agree with that? One thing that all people, saved or lost, ought to do, if you want to talk about a sense of ought in everybody, the one thing that all people everywhere ought to do is to endeavor to not be thought foolish by God. There was a man who had a great crop. Remember the fellow? And he said, man, I've never had a crop like this. I don't even have places to store it. So I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And I'll say to my soul, you know, this is a great time. Take your ease. You have much goods laid up for many, many years. And just eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy life. Enjoy yourself. But God said to him, now again, this is God's perspective on this guy. He said, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? And then he said this, the Lord Jesus did. He said, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's one thing to store up some treasure. It's another thing altogether to not be rich toward God. I think that's where the guy made his fatal mistake. It was all about himself. It was all about earthly riches. And he wasn't thinking about God. And he wasn't thinking about heaven. He wasn't thinking about laying up for himself treasures in heaven. No wonder God said, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And then he had to ask him that painful question. And now, who will own what you have prepared? Somebody's going to come in and take this stuff. Who's it going to be? Ouch. Not only can believers become foolish, but so can unbelievers. Yeah, they can become that without having been that for a while. Romans chapter 1, 21 to 23, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became foolish in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. In other words, they became something that at one time they weren't quite. They might have been headed in the wrong direction. But they became that. In other words, there was a deterioration that was happening, even among the lost. Believers ought not to call other believers fools. Again, believers ought not to call other believers fools. Jesus said, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Now, the new edition of the New American Standard Bible reads slightly differently. Quote, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, as opposed to rock, I think, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I've often wondered, okay, what does that mean? That you say something like that, insulting to your brother, and you're guilty of a monstrous crime or sin in the presence of God. I think Jesus, in a number of places in the Sermon on the Mount, is emphasizing the seriousness of sin. Because we have a tendency to sort of label sins as either serious or not so serious. You know, some sins are relatively acceptable and tolerable, others are terrible. And I think that probably Jesus' audience didn't think that going around saying to their brother, you fool, is any big deal. But Jesus is emphasizing the seriousness of sin. Now the question that we have then is, how do we merge what Jesus said here in Matthew 5:22 with what he said in Luke 24:25 over there, where he said, you fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. So he calls them fools. Or how do we merge that with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 or Galatians 3:1, where he said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before Jesus, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. I mean, how is that right for the Apostle Paul, for example, to say that there, and it would be wrong for you and me to say something like that to our brothers? Well, I'll put it this way. Where the Bible says that someone is a fool, he is. Let that be enough. Where the Bible says that someone is a fool, he is. Let that be enough. Where the Bible does not say such a thing, then let us not say such a thing. I'm not comfortable calling any brother or sister in Christ a fool under any circumstances, even if they would have committed what I would call a foolish act. To just call that person a fool, I think is contrary to the will and purpose of God. I think when we see a sin committed by a brother or sister in Christ, we ought to rebuke them for it. But the goal of that is not to trample them underfoot. You fool, you idiot, whatever, raka. Don't say anything like that to them. Just say, okay, you've got this problem. Let's confront it. Let's turn from that wicked way. And let's begin to live in a manner that's pleasing in the sight of God. So how can you and I be wise and not foolish? It's pretty simple, really. Read the Word. Understand the Word properly in its context. Believe the Word. And live the Word. And you are guaranteed not to be a fool. Okay, read the Word. Understand the Word properly in its context. Believe it and live it. And it is guaranteed that you will not be a fool in the sight of God. And in fact, you will be wise. And you will accomplish much for God in your earthly sojourn. May God grant us grace toward that end.